that they had the right on that account to break out immediately into applause? How mad is he who leaves the lecture room in a happy frame of mind simply because of applause from the ignorant? Why do you take pleasure in being praised by men whom you yourself cannot praise? Fabianus used to give popular talks, but his audience listened with self-control. Occasionally a loud shout of praise would burst forth, but it was prompted by the greatness of his subject, and not by the sound of oratory that slipped forth pleasantly and softly. There should be a difference between the applause of the theater and the applause of the school, and there is a certain decency even in bestowing praise. If you mark them carefully, all acts are always significant, and you can gauge character by even the most trifling signs. The lecherous man is revealed by his gait, by a movement of the hand, sometimes by a single answer, by his touching his head with a finger, by the shifting of his eye. The scamp is shown up by his laugh, the madman by his face and general appearance. These qualities become known by certain marks, but you can tell the character of every man when you see how he gives and receives praise. The philosopher's audience, from this corner and that, stretch forth admiring hands, and sometimes the adoring crowd almost hang over the lecturer's head. But, if you really understand, that is not praise. It is merely applause. These outcries should be left for the arts which aim to please the crowd. Let philosophy be worshipped in silence. Young men, indeed, must sometimes have free play to follow their impulses, but it should only be at times when they act from impulse and when they cannot force themselves to be silent. Such praise as that gives a certain kind of encouragement to the hearers themselves and acts as a spur to the youthful mind. But let them be roused to the matter and not to the style. Otherwise, eloquence does them harm, making them enamored of itself and not of the subject. I shall postpone this topic for the present. It demands a long and special investigation to show how the public should be addressed, what indulgences should be allowed to a speaker on a public occasion, and what should be allowed to the crowd itself in the presence of the speaker. There can be no doubt that philosophy has suffered a loss now that she has exposed her charms for sale. But she can still be viewed in her sanctuary if her exhibitor is a priest and not a peddler. Farewell. Letter 53. On the Faults of the Spirit. You can persuade me into almost anything now, for I was recently persuaded to travel by water. We cast off when the sea was lazily smooth. The sky, to be sure, was heavy with nasty clouds, such as usually break into rain or squalls. Still, I thought that the few miles between Puteoli and your dear Parthenope might be run off in quick time, despite the uncertain and lowering sky. So, in order to get away more quickly, I made straight out to sea for Nessus, with the purpose of cutting across all the inlets. But when we were so far out that it made little difference to me whether I returned or kept on, the calmer weather, which had enticed me, came to naught. The storm had not yet begun, but the ground swell was on, and the waves kept steadily coming faster. I began to ask the pilot to put me ashore somewhere. He replied that the coast was rough and a bad place to land, and that in a storm he feared a lee shore more than anything else. But I was suffering too grievously to think of the danger, since a sluggish seasickness which brought no relief was racking me, the sort that upsets the liver without clearing it. Therefore, I laid down the law to my pilot, forcing him to make for the shore willy-nilly. When we drew near, I did not wait for things to be done in accordance with Virgil's orders until prow faced seaward, or anchor plunged from bow. I remembered my profession as a veteran devotee of cold water, and, clad as I was in my cloak, let myself down into the sea just as a cold water bather should. What do you think my feelings were, scrambling over the rocks, searching out the path, or making one for myself? I understood that sailors have good reason to fear the land. It is hard to believe what I endured when I could not endure myself. You may be sure that the reason why Ulysses was shipwrecked on every possible occasion was not so much because the sea god was angry with him from his birth. He was simply subject to seasickness. And in the future I also, if I must go anywhere by sea, shall only reach my destination in the 20th year. When I finally calmed my stomach, for you know that one does not escape seasickness by escaping from the sea, and refreshed my body with a rubdown, I began to reflect how completely we forget or ignore our failings, even those that affect the body, which are continually reminding us of their existence, not to mention those which are more serious in proportion as they are more hidden. A slight ague deceives us. But when it has increased, and a genuine fever has begun to burn, it forces even a hardy man, who can endure much suffering, to admit that he is ill. There is a pain in the foot, and a tingling sensation in the joints, but we still hide the complaint, and announce that we have sprained a joint, or else are tired from over-exercise. Then the ailment, uncertain at first, must be given a name. And when it begins to swell the ankles also, and has made both our feet right feet, we are bound to confess that we have the gout. The opposite holds true of diseases of the soul. The worse one is, the less one perceives it. You need not be surprised, my beloved Lucilius, for he whose sleep is light pursues visions during slumber, and sometimes, though asleep, is conscious that he is asleep. But sound slumber annihilates our very dreams, and sinks the spirit down so deep that it has no perception of self. Why will no man confess his faults? Because he is still in their grasp. Only he who is awake can recount his dream, and similarly a confession of sin is a proof of sound mind. Let us, therefore, rouse ourselves, that we may be able to correct our mistakes. Philosophy, however, is the only power that can stir us, the only power that can shake off our deep slumber. Devote yourself wholly to philosophy.